This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
With a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book, coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a book. Oh, well, I am here in the studios of Tan Talk Radio Network, and it's so much fun here. Today, it is cold outside. All of my relatives who came down from Michigan and Wisconsin did me a favor and brought some cold air because I was in the mood for it. I hope it doesn't last long. That's why we live in Florida. But it is fun for a week or so. I can take it because then I can do all of my baking that I like to do in the wintertime. So I am so happy today that I have with me a guest whose book I read it and I was so amazed because I love historical fiction. And the best historical fiction is that which just takes you, sort of sucks you in, and you go back in time. And the author I'm going to be talking to today has done that. It's really quite amazing. After I finished the book, I went back and I said, how did she do that? How did she do that? How did she take me back to 1814 New Orleans? And it's magic, but it's because, perhaps partly because she's related to a very famous person. And so I'm so happy to welcome today to Joy on Paper the author of a wonderful, wonderful book called The Cards Don't Lie, and it is by Sue Ingalls Finnan. Hi, Sue.
Hello, Patsy. How are you?
Okay, great. Well, I got this book, and I thought, wow. First of all, I didn't know New Orleans very well. I've been there a few times, but I never really was never a place that, you know, in the history of things that I knew a great deal about, but I do now, and it's so fascinating. So tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll talk about the book, because you do have a famous name there, Ingalls.
Yes, I'm related to Laura Ingalls Wilder, and the book was an idea because you are not the only person who didn't know a lot about the Battle of New Orleans or New Orleans at that time in history. And after having visited several times the city and taking tours and noting their many museums, I started looking into the history. And of course, I did teach American history, and my students were all fascinated by the little factoids that I would reveal to them at various times about that particular time in the country. And so I thought, well, you know, I'm going to write about the battle. And, of course, almost everything was basically about Andrew Jackson and the males. And I thought, well, where were the females during this time? And that's when I started looking into what the female lifestyles were, how they might have contributed, how they did contribute, whatever facts we did have about that, and then put them all together. And it just turned into a marvelous story, I thought.
Well, it is.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, you've taken three characters, particular characters, and you've just developed them so beautifully. I was just taken with them, and I know at the end of the book I was saying, oh, I could have spent more time with these girls.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yes, well, they do spend a lot of time in my head. Yes, they were the major characters of the females at that time in New Orleans, and came from different cultures, different backgrounds, different races, different religions. And so it was interesting. And I do know, as the people in New Orleans know, that they bonded during this battle. They needed to. Andrew Jackson had asked everyone to get together to help him overcome the odds of 2-1, and they did it and were successful. You know, it was just an amazing story of overcoming the odds, kind of like David versus Goliath.
Well, you know, most people, we do hope that most people at least know enough American history that they understand that in 1776 we declared independence, but most people don't quite get the idea that that's not exactly when the presidency started. It took quite a few years of fighting and negotiating before we even had our first election. And,
right.
You know, and so there's this gap. And then we thought, well, by the time we had the revolution over, that was the end of the British. But it definitely wasn't because, you know, of course, the first election was in 1788 with George Washington. But the British weren't exactly giving up on America, were they?
No, not at all. They wanted to, and they did capture a number of our forts that were further west. And then, of course, they did burn down Washington, D.C., including the president's mansion. And he was off fighting them himself. And they did attack Baltimore and were not successful. But nonetheless, they were aiming towards the new state of Louisiana, which we had just bought from France in 1803. So their intent was to take over that entire territory and just make their way up through the continent.
Yeah, they were trying to. So. They attacked. I'm from Detroit, so they attacked Detroit. And of course, if anyone from Detroit knew that the British came there and took Fort Detroit. So they were really pretty eager to take over part of America.
Yes, they were, and they would have if we hadn't fought back because it was really our Second War of Independence, and besides the stalemate on the East Coast, they were busy impressing anybody who they could get out on the seas to be in their Navy, and so it was a difficult situation, and Mr. Madison's war was not going well at all. He wasn't getting a lot of support and was feeling quite fatigued about the situation. You know, as one of the founding fathers, he was kind of frustrated with what he had founded.
And now, when you got the idea, I think it's brilliant, of course. Most people don't think of what were the women doing in all of these wars. You know, we always have the point of view of the men and the battles. But in all wars, it's the women who are there, who are nursing and taking care of things. So tell us about the main characters that you and how did you come out with them? Because it's as you said, it's just a nice mix of personalities and backgrounds. So tell us about the main characters.
Well, the first character who came to mind was Catherine, who was the healer, and she was a free woman of color. And of which one-third of New Orleans at that time, almost one-third of them were free people of color, which is another little-known fact, I guess you might say. And she was a healer, and she had been involved in a secondhand marriage, Posage, but she was able to continue her efforts as a healer, was well-known, and was a midwife. And, oh, by the way, she was a voodoo priestess, as you know.
Yeah.
So that just kind of added to it because it is New Orleans. And when Jackson arrived in New Orleans, he really did have dysentery, a very severe case of dysentery, which must have been quite frustrating when trying to ride a horse. But anyways, he did not have a great deal of enthusiasm for regularly trained doctors. And so it made sense that he would try to get the best-known healer in New Orleans to help him get rid of the dysentery, and that's where Catherine came in. The second character who came to mind was Marguerite, who was a plantation mistress, and, of course, the plantations at that time were, as of now, in cotton as well as sugarcane. And she was a very multi-task person, good leadership, Marguerite was, and she knew a lot of the women because she was from that particular, you might say, social situation. And there were women in her particular field who did offer their homes to any of the wounded who were around. So that was not too far off base. But we also know that the Ursulines had converted their convent and school into a hospital. So it made sense for Marguerite and Catherine to unite, the one with the leadership skills and the other with the healing skills, to bond together and plan for this hospital. And the Ursuline nuns, by the way, in their convent today, have an absolutely wonderful exhibition with more information about this. And the third character who kind of popped up being New Orleans was Millie, the plucky and patriotic prostitute. And she was a great deal of fun to write, but her part in it especially was because of the pirate, Jean Lafitte's crew, and she had the most dangerous job of all, I think, that of picking up the wounded from the battlefield and delivering the supplies, because the redcoats could have just popped up at any moment, and she didn't have any kind of protection whatsoever. So those were my three main characters, and the nuns, of course. The nuns were very important to taking care of the wounded.
Well, it was funny. I was reading Catherine's part, and there was so much wisdom in her methods of medicine, about cleanliness, about all of that. I thought that was really great. And one of the sections I had just been reading an article about a company in Israel that's making cutting edge. Cures for diseases, including wounds, and they are using honey. And I thought, okay, I thought that's pretty good. They're coming out with a whole range of medicines, all based on using honey. And there's Catherine using honey back in the Battle of New Orleans.
I did a lot of research, and that's what they used. So that wasn't, I didn't make that up, and the fact is, she was, of course, she had lots of clients because New Orleans had so many different cultures. And saying that she had gotten some of her ideas also from Napoleon, that also was true, that Napoleon was far more sanitary in the way he addressed his soldiers than the Americans at that time were. And so all of the items, again, I did a lot of research. The black cohosh root, if you remember that, when she prescribed that to Catherine, that was a Native American tradition to use black cohosh. And you can get that at Walgreens, too, by the way, in a pill form, if you'd like, or order it on Amazon.
Well, isn't research fun? The things that you learn when you start on that path? I mean, that is one of why I call this program Joy on Paper, because you start writing and then it leads you, you think you're writing one thing and then you go a little bit deeper, and you keep finding interesting things that you can include in your work.
I agree. And also talking to people, going back to New Orleans and talking to the people there and what they had to contribute to the situation. And to people in general, just little things that suddenly spark an idea, and then, hey, I think I'll investigate that a little bit more. Yeah, and coming up with marvelous information that can fit into the story so well and make it even better, I think.
Well, you paint a lovely portrait of the city itself. I mean, you really make it come alive, and the period. As I said, I love when I forget where I am. I'm just reading this book and I'm saying, wow, I'm back in time, and it was just so much fun. But also your portrait of the people, of the real historical characters, are so fascinating. And I think for many people, once they read your book, they are going to want to read more about that era and to know more. And I particularly found your description of Andrew Jackson fascinating, and I think it comes at a time when people should appreciate many of the things that he did, because I hate the idea of them, you know, tearing down his statues and things, because he did so much good.
Yeah, I agree, and I don't think New Orleans will tear down his statues very quickly, and certainly not those in Nashville, Tennessee, either. They kind of think very highly of him, and he did some. He wasn't very kind to the Native Americans later on in his career, and he was.
This happens in history, but you can't throw everything out, you know.
And exactly.
And what happened in New Orleans, and I think it is so much of what you get this feeling in the book is this camaraderie that you write about, and the people pulling together, the people forgetting about color, forgetting about their differences in status, financial status or social status, they were all in there to get rid of the British, and it was really quite a heroic and marvelous thing that they did.
Yes, thank you so much, Patsy. I was hoping to have captured their trust and their brotherhood and sisterhood among one another, even though, you know, they didn't always speak the same language. They certainly had different cultures, but it was a struggle, and they had to unite. And thanks to Jackson's leadership, they did a great job of it. So they put all of that aside, and they worked at being respected of one another. You know, whether they were pirates or slaves or free men of color, free women of color, they had respect for one another and what they could do and how they could work together. And boy, I think it's a really great American read.
I think, you know, if kids could read books like this, they would be interested in history, because unfortunately, you know, so often kids just fall away. You know, high school students, they're not interested anymore in history. But I think this book would. I didn't see anything wrong in any high school student reading this book. Because they know about more things than we did when we were kids, that's for sure.
And, very true.
Oh my God, I didn't know anything. I was looking back on it, but it's amazing. And I think that you tell the story so well. Even the battle sequences, the military part, you did such a beautiful job of describing it. So I'm thinking about where are the troops going and where are they moving, and I got such a kick out of that.
It was interesting, and my husband did help me with that, because I did the research, I wrote it, and then he looked at it and changed some things. For instance, I hadn't a clue how to light a cannon, and he helped me with that, and also we found out more information at Annapolis, where they honor Terry, and they had splendid directions so that I could light a cannon right now. But
okay, that's a useful talent.
Yes, stand back. but you know, things like that, and the muskets and what have you, and I know that a lot of students, well, seeing as how I taught American history in high school, some of the kids were absolutely enchanted with the battle scenes of any war. You know, I also tried to point out the great poetry involved in it, but they were, the boys in particular, and I don't want to be...
I know, PC, un-PC, whatever.
Yes, but they, I had one student who was absolutely delighted to study World War One with the bombs exploding and all that, and he and I wrote a simulation game together. And he went on to work on his postdoc at Los Alamos on explosives.
So, well, you better.
You know,
that's a pretty good.
Something there.
There is. That's exactly why I think this book is so valuable, because it opens your eyes to so many things and reminds you of things that you might vaguely know. But for example, that there were pirates. Many people don't. still understand that the pirates weren't all in the Caribbean. We had a lot of pirates. And having lived in Texas, of course, I went to Galveston quite often. And so we were aware of the pirate life there. And I always wanted to go and, you know, do some of that searching there.
That's where Jean Lafitte ended up.
I know. There's gold somewhere there. But it's nice. I think it puts it in perspective when people read a book like this. There were pirates, and there were pirates who saved us from the British.
yeah. If it wasn't for their ammunition, we would have been in very big trouble. Go ahead.
So I think facts like that are what make this book. It's just delightful and deep. It has a wealth of information and beautiful character development.
Thank you. I do enjoy. My older son said, "Mom, you finished the book too quickly. I want to know what happened afterwards."
I
told him to sharpen his pencil.
I think you. Is this your actual first published book?
Yes, I've been published before. I write a newspaper column for our local newspaper, and I did some writing for Macmillan textbooks and magazines. And I've, you know, written things for my students.
And then
my first novel.
thanks to Jim's encouragement.
Yes.
I noticed you dedicated the book to him.
Yes.
And he deserves it. Because he has done a great thing for all of us. He has launched a brilliant author. And I'm sure that just with these characters alone, if you wanted to stick with them, you could go on, you know, different tangents, different roads, and keep writing about them. Because, as I said, when I finished, I mean, I really did want to know more about the character. I wanted to know them. I wanted to get back to them. And so, I don't know. Are you working on something?
My newspaper column, I just sent that in this morning.
Well, I think this book is going to be a success, and I think that people are going to be sending you messages on social media or whatever you're on that let's have more of Catherine, let's have more, you know, I think it will be a way for you to continue the story, because there's a lot still that we could learn about that period of time.
Right. Yeah, I agree. It could turn into a trilogy.
Yes,
I'll sharpen my pencil.
Well, you better, because I really do see a trilogy in this, because it, as I said, I wanted more. I was ready for more. So I think you have a winner here.
Well, thank you, Patsy. I appreciate that a great deal, and I hope other people think so too, because it was a lot of research, but it was fun writing it.
An absolute joy, I have a feeling.
Good.
Now, do you have a website you want people to go to?
Yes, it's a primitive, you might say, website, but it is there. It is www.sueinglesfinan.com. Very simple. And if any book clubs would be interested, there is a nice set of questions that follow up the story. And I've been invited already to several book discussion groups. And do get in touch. You can get in touch with me through that website, which would be lovely. And I'd be happy to respond.
And
again, it's a great American read.
I think it's a great American read. And I loved also, which most books, historical books, don't do, you did, at the end, you did further revelations, sort of telling us about what happens to many of the characters, historical people in the book. And I thought that was great. And I think why it's so useful, one, it puts everything in perspective. And I think people will say, I want to know more. I want to know a little bit more. I want to follow this story. And so you have a lot of stuff here to use in this. I decided we have to have a trilogy here. I have to have you back.
Oh, okay.
Get to work.
All right.
Get to work. And I want you back here next year telling me about the second in your series, because Well, Jim has done a great thing for us all, because I think the Cards Don't Lie is a wonderful book, and it's available wherever books are sold, and it's by Sue Ingalls Finnan. And I think, you know, one of the things when I get a kick out of a book, it just puts a smile on my face. And when I see it also as a film in my head, which I did with this one, I think it's just fantastic.
Oh, that would be splendid. Do you know Oprah? Maybe we can get in touch with her.
Well, I will see what I can do to find somebody to look at this book, because I think it's just fantastic. And I want to thank you for your little personal note. I appreciate that so much. And again, have a wonderful holiday season coming up. And I suggest everybody, if you're looking for a wonderful gift, this is a great book to give as a gift for anybody who just loves to read. It has everything. It has I think guys will enjoy it, reading it about the battle part and the military and the political side of it, because boy, it was politics back then too, right?
A lot of politics. What I like to tell people is that, you know, anybody who likes history or who likes battle scenes, obviously, and some romance.
It's got romance in it. Okay, well, I have to get going.
With estrogen.
I have to get going because I've got the commercial break, but I will have you back here next year, okay?
Okay, thank you so much. Okay. Have a good holiday.
Thank you, bye-bye.
Bye now.
Okay, quick commercial, and then I've got something really fun coming up.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more rewarding careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
Are you an author? An artist? An inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660. Or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
How many of you listening today yearn to write stories, poems, or novels? Each of you has a story to tell, or knows of a story that others would love to read if only you could put the words on a page. The many writers' clubs in the Bay Area understand this urge and would welcome any new writer to learn with them. So go ahead and take the first step to becoming a well-known author. Sponsored by the Pinellas Writers Club.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Just waiting for a call in from New York City with a really wonderful, wonderful guest. Oh, okay. I think we just got her on the line. This is going to be so much fun. As you know, I always tell everybody the best gift is a book. And so I'm really excited to talk to somebody who's going to give us some great recommendations. And while we're waiting, I want to remind you, okay, I think she's on. Okay, she's not on. We'll wait a minute. And you know who I want you to buy her book? It's Bells, Spells, and Murder by Carol J. Perry. Now, that is a wonderful, cozy mystery and just perfect, just in time here for the holidays. And all of you will really enjoy it. And Carol J. Perry is one of my favorite guests. And you will love this new cozy mystery of hers that came out a month ago, just in time here, so that we can get it for the holiday season. Okay, well, I have on the phone Kristen Pozzuoli. I hope I pronounce that right.
Yeah, that's great. That's the real Italian way.
Good. That's what I like. Okay. Well, I am so happy to have you on. We'll tell everyone that you are the Senior Marketing Manager for the Education and Literary Markets at DK, which, of course, is the most wonderful, wonderful. I mean, these books that you are going to recommend to us today are so great. And DK, of course, is a part of Penguin Random House. And you have some recommendations for us. Wow.
I do. Well, I'm glad you love DK just as much as I do. That's great. But we have something for everyone on your list this year, no matter how young or old, no matter what. We've got something great. So for the youngest, we've got Baby Touch and Feel Merry Christmas, and that's a tactile book which helps develop the senses from a very young age. That's for the youngest. And then moving up in age, for children, we've got an anthology of intriguing animals. And this is, I love this book. It is just a fabulous gift book, and one that certainly parents will not mind putting on the shelves, because it has a cloth cover and gold foil on the cover and gold foil edged pages, and it's simply stunning.
This book is amazing. Yeah. I just have to tell, first of all, you have to tell, I'm telling you, I want the author of this book to be on. I have to talk to him. It's one of the most beautiful books I've ever gotten. I love beautiful paper, and you've done this on paper and with a combination of photographs and artwork. It is so beautiful. You could spend, and this gift is not for just kids. I mean, any adult will just sit there for hours and go through it. And I would get this book just so I could, people could learn about the axolotl.
Yes, that's right. It has 100 animals, and it has all the classic, most well-loved animals like giraffes and elephants. But then it also goes into these ones that you don't really hear about as much. And so I think there's a lot for kids to discover within it. They'll, of course, learn about all of their favorite animals, but they'll also find some new favorites along the way.
Well, I think it should be, this is a perfect book for parents to read at bedtime to say, okay, we're going to do three animals tonight and tease a little things. You're not going to get them all tonight, not all one, but because the cover is embossed in gold. It's magical. I mean,
You're right in that it looks like a storybook. It truly does. Even the interiors, the way the facts are presented are not in this unapproachable, chunky way. It really is just a few paragraphs per animal, and there's one spectacularly amazing fact that's pulled out from all the rest for each animal.
I think it will encourage, and I would get this book and encourage kids, write your own story about each of these animals. Right, because it's so delightful. So this author's going to be on my program soon. Okay. What's the next one?
I think that's your favorite, but I'm not sure.
I think so.
We'll see.
No, it is.
We'll see what comes next. Next up, for the book lover in your life, this is a must-have. This is a coffee table book called Writers, Their Lives and Work. And I know you can't see it. We're on the radio, but it has a beautiful profile image of Virginia Woolf on the cover.
Beautiful.
And this book highlights 80 of our favorite authors, poets, and playwrights throughout history, and the love, rivalries, and friendships that influenced these works that we have come to know and love, and that have become timeless.
Beautiful, again, beautiful stories, beautiful photography, and you'll never be afraid of Virginia Woolf after you read this book.
No. Certainly not.
Okay, what's next?
Sure, so we know the Instant Pot is hot again this holiday season. So we've got the Healthy Instant Pot Cookbook, and this has 100 great recipes with fewer calories and less fat. And it has something for every meal, so mains and soups and sides and even desserts. And it will take your traditional favorites that you think are not healthy and put a healthy twist on them, like lasagna and macaroni and cheese, and even cheesecake.
Well, that's another great one. And then I must say that you know, the ballet book is
another one. Is that number two on your list?
I don't know. Yeah. I'm having problems here. They're so good.
No, it's really a hefty coffee table book for sure. Beautifully done with a jacket. Again, gold foil on the cover. It is essential for any ballet lover, this book. It highlights 70 performances and the choreographers, dancers, and composers behind them. It also, you know, is a survey of its history from the 16th century all the way up until now. Truly stunning.
But do you have, like, one of the best jobs in the world? You get to look at...
I mean, yeah. Wow. I think so. I think I do. It's, you know, and to be sharing this with people across the country, especially today in particular, and I like to say, I've been saying kind of all morning that when you give the gift of a book, yes, you're giving a gift of that single book, but you're also giving so much more, right? Especially to a child. You're giving the gift of knowledge, and you're helping to encourage a lifelong love of reading, and that is just so important.
And that is a gift that lasts forever.
Exactly.
I know that I from the first time I started teaching my nephew to read, he just has loved reading ever since. And this is something that, and your books particularly, I mean, these are books that will last. They're such top quality books. They will last for generations.
Yes, I'd like to think so. You know, I spoke to someone earlier who said, you know, she likes to pass down her books. And I think that's just, it's a great way to learn about, you know, what was popular at a certain time, but it's also a great bond that could form between the person gifting and getting. So that's really special.
And we can't forget the Nickelodeon Rugrats.
No, we can't. So these are the perfect stocking stuffers for the millennials on your list. So for the 20 and 30-somethings, they'll love these. So these were published in partnership with Nickelodeon. We've got the Rugrats Guide to Adulting and the Hey Arnold's Guide to Relationships. So these will help readers navigate love, life, and career side by side with their favorite 90s cartoon characters.
Well, I think that's delightful too. Now, you know, your job is to go around and to really help educators also to select books.
Yes. So in this role in particular, but, you know, I have marketing background at DK, of course. So, yeah, our job is just to get the word out, no matter to whom that is. Particular to me now, I will work within the education and library market. So that involves going to the American Library Association conference and like conferences and talking to librarians, showcasing our books, seeing what they need. So it's really quite the rewarding experience.
And, of course, we have the Smithsonian Timelines for Everything. This is a fun book.
Timelines of Everything. This one's for kids, too. It explores 13 billion years of history from the Big Bang to our own digital age in more than 120 timelines. So it covers topics from Vikings and pirates to robots and photography, and each topic has its own spread, and the story of its history is told in the form of a timeline with matching photographs and illustrations along the way.
Which also leads us to another book called Robot.
Yes, Robot. So the robot revolution is here, and it's not going anywhere. So this is a survey of the history of robots, all the way back to Da Vinci's first inventions up until now, with modern humanoid robots. This is also a children's book, but certainly has, you know, appeals to all ages. Anyone interested in science, engineering, coding, this is for them.
Wow, what a wonderful selection. And as I've always told people, that really books are a way to expand your mind, to make sure that you just have a great time away from all all sorts of distractions and all get away from electronic gadgets and just immerse yourself in a book, and I think you will always find yourself feeling better at the end.
I couldn't agree more, definitely.
Well, I want to thank you so much today, you know, and it's Christine Pozzuoli. Pozzuoli. I love that name, Pozzuoli. It should be a character in a book. And again, from DK and Penguin, I want to thank them so much for sending me the books, and I want to thank you for being on Joy on Paper today. And people can hear the how much you love books just from your voice and your enthusiasm, and that's so important. Okay, well, that was so nice. She is enthusiastic. Can you imagine having a job where all yes I can having a job where all you have to do is read books, and these books are so amazing. They are so reasonable. Really, if you're looking at giving gifts, I've been looking lately at a lot of things, and I look back and I say that I'm so tired of plastic things. Really, I am, because those are the things that land up in the garage sales. I can tell you, this book, An Anthology of Intriguing Animals, which I'm holding up for those of you who are watching on YouTube, it is really simply, it is, of course, it's a book for kids. It's supposed to be a book for kids. I don't know if you have to make sure they wash their hands. But it is so much fun, and it is so beautiful. I have never seen where they've really combined photographs and original artwork on the most beautiful paper. It's really rare that you get this. And the books are so reasonably priced. You know, they're all like $40, $35 or less. And the value in it is amazing. You pay, you know, $50 for some piece of plastic that doesn't last, and it lands up in a garage sale. And you could have this book. I got such a kick out of it because I didn't know some of these animals. You look at them and you say, wow, those are real animals. And also for all of you writers out there, if you are looking for inspiration for writing a storybook for children, to do it with some of these animals that are not really well known, I think it's fascinating. So you might want to get it just for yourself, just to have it as a reference book next to you. I could spend 2 hours today just going through that book. So I hope that you will think about that. I have been organizing for some upcoming programs here in December. I'm going to have some children's authors on because I want, again, for you to have an idea of gifts that you might buy. And then next Thursday I have Bill Larson is going to be back on the program for his monthly visit to us to talk about intellectual property. I have heard from some of you who have had some problems with intellectual property, some who have, please, I want to say again, I'm asking you, please do not send anything to companies that send you messages on the internet that they are in Hollywood and that they will turn your book into a film script and then they will sell it, because they won't. And they are, I'm going to say 99.9% are ripoffs, because you really cannot do that. You cannot do that to yourself, because you will regret it for the rest of your life if you do that. You will always be worried, even if you don't hear back from them, or it could be years. And 10 years later, somebody will come out with a movie and you'll say, that's my movie. That's mine. I wrote that. They don't care. Believe me, these people do not care. And they will put their names on your work without hesitation. And you just cannot do it. If you have any idea of doing such a thing, please just stop, take a deep breath. And if you then ever do actually get in contact with somebody who is real in Hollywood, a real agent, real agents deal with real lawyers. If they do not deal with a lawyer, a real lawyer, on your side, then they are not real, and they are just there to rip you off. And they always start with a low fee, $300 to read it, $650 to give you a synopsis, $1,000 to give you an outline. And I'm sorry to say that an author here in the Tampa Bay area has just contacted me last month and has paid $3,500 to a company that he knew nothing about. And it's a shame. And he's going to have, I have a feeling, a very, very unhappy Christmas this year because he just wasted $3,500. It's a life learning lesson, but it's not a lesson that you want to learn at such a cost. If you have an intellectual property question, on the first page of my webpage, which is radio-joyonpaper, you can submit a question there, and I will have Bill Larson answer it next week. He will be here on Thursday, and he will answer your questions. If you have any kind of product that might go along with your book, say you've written a story about a particular animal, or you have a range of characters that you might want to one day license as dolls, then you really, before you do anything like that, you really have to apply for a trademark. Sometimes people say, well, you know, it's expensive to apply for a trademark. Should I really do it? Is it worth it? But I've heard from a couple of people who have ignored that idea and said, okay, I can go ahead and just start producing or send to China a drawing of my characters, and they will come back and they will send me the little dolls and I can then merchandise them. The fact is, if you do something like that without a license and without a trademark, you will be sorry because they will steal it and you will have no recourse. So if you have any intellectual property questions, send them to me. Go to my webpage, radio-joyonpaper. And, you know, that's all I can do is try to bring this service to you once a month where Bill will answer your questions. And every time he does so, it just makes you more aware of how important it is to protect your valuable property. That's why we call it valuable intellectual property. It has value. And you don't know today what will happen in 10 years. You might write a book today and have it published, and it's out there. And 10 years from now, perhaps the subject is just comes up. It's something that's intriguing. You say you've written a story about a particular animal, and nobody's interested in that animal today. But later on, they want to do a whole story based on that animal. Well, you have to know that your intellectual property is protected. So that's why I'm asking you, please, to send in your questions. Now, also, I want to thank you for all of you who have gone to Facebook. My Facebook page is Radio Joy on Paper. I'm trying to change it to get just Joy on Paper. There was a lady who had an old company called Joy on Paper. She still sold stationery, and I'm trying to get it back from her. So I will see if I do. But right now, it's Radio Joy on Paper, and all you have to do is go there and like me, and that really helps. Also, if you're looking for a way to help Joy on Paper so that I can get more interviews here of not just, I love to do famous people. You know, last week I had David Baldacci, and a few weeks ago I had Mary Higgins Clark and Margaret George, by the way, whose book is doing very well. But I also like to have indie authors and local authors and to help them promote their books. And all you have to do is go to mypillow.com and use the promo code Patsy, P-A-T-Z-I, that's my name, Patsy with a Z, and buy a pillow. And I really appreciate it. I also want to say that I appreciate Glenn Erickson and his support for Joy on Paper. He is a sci-fi writer. His books are available on Smashwords. He's going to come back on the program. I'm just working out the date. We're going to have a program with where I talk about some sci-fi that's great for all of you people who enjoy sci-fi and want to give a gift. So I have Neil Litherland coming on. He's been on before. And Glenn Erickson will be on. And I have a lot of wonderful authors coming up in December. As I said, many children's authors. So I will be posting it. Again, it's always on the front page of my webpage, which is radio-joy on paper. Again, what else today? I will have also a list of contests. I'm going to start putting the contest right on my front page so that all you have to do is look on for the deadlines on that page and you will be able to start submitting. Remember, one of the things that you can do is, even if you are an indie author, if you are noticed in one of the contests, and you might not be a winner, but remember that the good contests are always about are read by people in the industry, real literary agents and real agents. So, okay, what else? That's it today. I'm tired. I had a wonderful time. My family came down from Michigan. My sister-in-law brought tons and tons of wonderful homemade jellies and all sorts of things, and I'm just having so much fun just looking at them right now. I haven't opened them because I just need to be. This weekend I'm going to open things. Wonderful, and I've so appreciated. I want to also wish my brother a happy birthday because he went and did something exciting this weekend, and so I hope to hear about that. And also a special to my son who came down from Madison, and thank him so much for everything he did for us in a packed week. He did so much, and I'm just so appreciative. And I just love them all. And that's a wonderful thing. It's just to remember to love your family and to keep them close to you and get them a book for the holidays. It's so nice. And I know I still have books that my sister gave me many, many years ago. And I love those books. There's one particular book that I open up because it's Helen McGinnis. I read it often, which is funny because as if I don't have enough books, but she signed it, and so it's precious. Remember, one of the joys of life is to see your words on paper or to hear them spoken in an audible book, or if you're really lucky, to one day hear those words, lights, camera, action! And your book will be made into a film, or, like I know for Carol J. Perry, it will appear on the Hallmark Channel. So just all you have to do is start writing and do it. And again, I want to thank Big Ed in the control room. I really appreciate everything he does for me. And I'm saluting him, and he's saluting me. And have a wonderful, wonderful day. Bye.